Tom Carkle in the AM 1400 WRJN News Center. Our AccuWeather forecast for this Friday, going to be partly cloudy and windy today. We'll have a high again near 60 degrees. Temperature-wise, around southeast Wisconsin, we're looking at rather cool conditions to start things out. In Kenosha, the reading at this hour is 52 degrees, Burlington 45, in Milwaukee 52, and in Racine, partly cloudy, 53. There was a major traffic tie-up late yesterday afternoon at Green Bay Road and 128th Street in Pleasant Prairie near the Illinois line. Five people, including two small children, taken to hospitals from a two-vehicle collision. The children were listed as being 8 and 11 months old. They were transported by Flight for Life. A 36-year-old man later taken via helicopter to a hospital, and the drivers of the two vehicles also transported by ambulance to facilities. The extent of the injuries and the conditions were not provided, though. That crash tied up emergency responders for hours, as well as creating a major backup from the detours. Multiple reports say the gunman who opened fire at that small community college in Oregon yesterday was targeting Christians. It's been stated that the 26-year-old Chris Harper Mercier killed the victims, who indicated they were Christian, and wounded the others. 10 fatally shot, at least 7 others hurt. Police killing the gunman in that shooting situation. Meanwhile, the president reacted with emotion and animation, calling for common sense gun legislation after that big shooting case.
There is a gun for roughly every man, woman, and child in America. So how can you, with a straight face, make the argument that more guns will make us safer?
President noting that the country's thoughts and prayers are not enough anymore. The father of that suspect says he was just as shocked as anybody. Ian Mercer, speaking briefly with reporters, said he couldn't and didn't want to answer many questions, and obviously it's been a devastating day. 56-year-old Diane Kosar from Kenosha was declared dead last month. She was taken to a hospital for her organs to be harvested. That after suffering a brain aneurysm while riding her bicycle. Move ahead. A shock this week, she showed up at the public safety building to get her bicycle out of the evidence room and request a copy of the police report. Kenosha police telling the Kenosha News that because it was a medical issue, they don't have any idea what happened to the woman once she got taken to the hospital. 15 million people may be vulnerable to having their information stolen in a hack of T-Mobile. Joe Ramsey has details.
Hackers made off with social security numbers, home addresses, birth dates, and other personal information belonging to about 15 million T-Mobile wireless customers and potential customers in the U.S. The hackers got the information from credit reporting agency Experian, which T-Mobile uses to check the credit of those applying for phone plans and financing for devices. Customers who applied between September of 2013 and September of this year may have had their information stolen. Experian says it's working with law enforcement authorities and that there's no evidence to date that the data has been used inappropriately. I'm Joe Ramsey.
The Burlington man accused of robbing the Village of Rochester Library and trying to take the purse of a woman outside the Village of Waterford Library 10 minutes later last month refused to be in court Thursday afternoon for his initial appearance, so it's been rescheduled to this afternoon. 31-year-old Simon Rubio arrested Wednesday, charged with attempted armed robbery with the threat of force, robbery with the threat of force, and possession of drug paraphernalia. The owner of a New Berlin construction firm is going to be on probation for 2 years and will spend 6 months on house arrest for not paying his employees federal prevailing wages on a housing project. Scott Watry sentenced for a wage fraud conviction. Federal prosecutors asked for a year and a day behind bars. The defense for the owner of Watry Homes LLC argued probation and house arrest were appropriate. The judge noted that the defendant had no criminal record, plus his reputation's already been destroyed. Women's Resource Center in Racine getting closer to officially opening its second facility at the former school in the town of Dover. Executive Director Sherry Griffin says the Healing House, as it's going to be called, going to start out with offices to provide needed services. Needed renovation will lead to the shelter portion potentially opening up the first part of next year. Meanwhile, she says their fundraising campaign continues and they would welcome any donations. The Women's Resource Center been in talks for the past several months to buy the old Dover Center Grade School, located on Church Road. And proposed legislation will make it a little bit easier to keep tabs on who owns large exotic pets here in the state. That bill is from Racine Area State Senator Van Wongard. It would require owners of non-native big cats, bears, alligators, and apes to register the animals with local officials. He says it would help to identify who may be responsible when one of them gets loose.
When a dangerous non-native animal is spotted in a neighborhood, tremendous local efforts and resources are diverted to address that situation.
Bill got a hearing at the state capitol yesterday, several zoo leaders and animal welfare groups offering their support. A resolution seeking to retain a qualified architectural firm to perform a comprehensive study on the historic rehabilitation and preservation of Kenosha's Southport Beach House, where fixing and or repairing the roof has dominated discussion this year. That is now being supported by the city's Historic Preservation Commission. Alderman Jan Makowski chairs the panel and is co-sponsor of the resolution, says this would cover all aspects of that historic facility, including the roof, while also prioritizing the needs that were not part of a previous report. Lydia Spotswood, during citizen comments, suggested that a comprehensive study would provide a unified look at that facility versus the piecemeal approach.
At least for the beginning, there should be an architectural firm that can do the engineering analysis and all the design analysis put in front of this project. And initially, if the focus is on an envelope design and recommendations, moreover, the other aspect of putting an architect in front, it really can save the city a tremendous amount of time and money.
That resolution will be going through a couple of committees before eventually ending up in front of the city council. Well, after delaying a vote on proposed changes to an ordinance regulating where campers, boats, and trailers can be parked in residential areas in Mount Pleasant, the issue of enforcing the current ordinance came up at this week's meeting at the village board session. Village Administrator Kurt Walla noting there's actually been a kind of a moratorium on issuing citations as this proposal worked its way through the process. Development Director Logan Martin said the village does need to come up with an enforcement plan.
So we can sit down, perhaps the police department can assist with that because it is a parking issue. Although it's on private property, it's a little bit different than street parking. The reason it's complaint driven is we're not patrolling the village looking for issues to write violation notices on or write citations on.
The proposed changes would have allowed residents to park campers and or other vehicles in front of their homes between May and November. They can now only be parked on the side or backyards. After some concerns were raised, the board decided to send the proposal back to the Plan Commission. Governor Walker rejecting a call for a special legislative session on transportation. Democrats calling for it after the Department of Transportation announced five major road projects were being delayed. Governor puts the blame on the Joint Finance Committee, says he'll work with Republicans to get an extra $350 million in funding released so that the projects can get back on track in this case.
I believe that when people see the projects and the impact it's going to have on jobs in the state, my belief is ultimately that the members of the state Senate on the Finance Committee will see fit to move that going forward, and we're committed to working with them to find a way to do that. Hopefully that'll happen within the next month.
Road funding is a sticking point, of course, during the state budget talks. Another meeting with state lawmakers, as well as some outreach to a couple of communities, perhaps looking to set up their own separate school system from Racine Unified. That's on the agenda in the coming weeks for members of the Board of Education. Julie McKenna indicating all six area legislators have committed to a gathering in just over a week at Case High School.
And that will be October 12th at 4:30 at Case High School. I believe the public can be invited there, but there won't be any public input. And following that meeting, there will be a tour through the new field house.
And she says there are plans for November to get together with leadership from Caledonia and Mount Pleasant to talk about issues of concern. And take note, big weekend at Carthage College. You got homecoming. You got the formal opening of the new Science Center, $43 million worth. Going to do a ribbon cutting on that. And there will be tours of the building if you're interested. There is also going to be the class of 1965, the first to graduate from the Kenosha campus, holding their 50-year reunion. Events planned at noon and at 5:30, and if that's not enough, Carthage also kicking off a major fundraising campaign tomorrow. WRJN.com, your source for our local news. Whenever you want it, go on our webpage. You can listen to our newscasts. They are in podcast form in the local news section. And at WRJN News is for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Karkle, AM 1400 WRJN News.